There seems to be a deficit of conversations around the whys of living away from the convenience of town, spending precious time on trying to grow your own food when you can just buy it in the shops, and if choosing this lifestyle really is making a difference on our characters and that of our families. Welcome to the Cultivate Podcast. We are passionate about and love having conversations on what impact truly experiencing country living, true education, and agriculture can have on our lives. We hope and pray that by us sharing these conversations with people from all different backgrounds and experiences, that you can feel equipped from the practical advice and inspired by the stories to continue or pick up where you left off.
Welcome everyone back to the podcast. We're excited to start 2022 with a lot of content that we've been planning and a lot of conversations. With me, we've got Khan and Shanna and myself, Ian. So what have you guys been up to during the holiday?
Yes. Well, as you've probably been noticing, there haven't been many podcasts being released over the last couple of weeks. But we had a really well-deserved, well-needed break over the Christmas holidays, between Christmas and New Year's. A group of us, Ian, some friends, and I, we went to the Snowy Mountains, which is where the tallest mountain in Australia is, Mount Kosciuszko. And we just spent 3 days just exploring around there and backpack hiking and hiking different peaks and camping and just immersing ourselves in the nature. And yeah, for me, it was just really, really good just to rest and reflect and relax and spend time with people, spend time in nature. And yeah, it was such an awesome trip.
Yeah, really straight out of the snow. So they're really clear, still crystal clear, and rocky pools and really cold, but really refreshing. So I jumped in a few of them and that was good. But otherwise everything from snow and like really clear at night and like you can see the stars perfectly. So it has definitely helped us reset for the new year.
Wow, that sounds like you guys had a great experience in Australia.
Yeah, what about you, Khan? We missed you.
Yeah, I missed you guys too. I've been in Africa and Zambia right now. And I've traveled from Zimbabwe to Zambia in December last year. And I've just been started a class at Riverside Farms Institute studying scientific agriculture here. And so I'll be spending the next 6 months here studying. But for the past month, we've started the class. And this past week, we did nutrition classes and stuff. And so we like learned about the 8 laws of health, you know, new start. And we're also doing cooking classes. A week before, we were already rushing to get some gardens into because we have our own gardens, so that we're experimenting in, you know, with organic farming. So, yeah, I get to experiment in some of that. For the next few months, I'll be experimenting and doing gardens. So, very excited about that, yeah.
Nice. Sounds like you had a lot less of a holiday than us.
Yeah, but, you know, like you were saying also about spending time with friends and stuff like that, I did get opportunities to do that as well, which was really nice.
Nice. Yeah, I like how you always take the opportunity to learn as much as you can and put yourself in places where you can learn. So it's very inspiring, Khan.
Using your time, mate.
Yeah, cheers.
Using your time.
Yeah, that's right. There's not much time left, is it?
Good stuff. Yeah. Well, we're excited to be back and we're excited for you guys who are listening as well to be joining us for this year. For those who have been following along with our social media at all, you would have seen that our friend Esther, who hasn't been on our podcast yet, but we're hoping to get her on soon, has been managing that and sharing things that they've been doing in New Zealand. They've been doing lots of different country living programs and seminars and different events that they've been able to get people together and just, yeah, really share with the community over there different practical skills in, you know, in-person setting. So that's been really exciting to see the momentum building and growing in New Zealand and then, yeah, also the content that they've been sharing on our social media. So if you're not on our Instagram or our Facebook, if you go over there to at the Cultivate Podcast, you'll be able to find all that stuff happening over there and, yeah, continue to join in with the community. Yeah, and thank you to everyone who has been following along and has helped us get to our small but our growing number of 100 followers. We're, yeah, super excited to see how it's going to continue to grow this year. And we're just looking forward to, yeah, you guys joining us on this journey and hearing your feedback, your conversations, your testimonies, your experiences as well. So, yeah, it's not just about the things that we've been learning, but things that you guys have been learning as well. So yeah, we're super keen to meet more people. We already have over the holidays. We were reflecting before we started the recording that, yeah, there's just so many people that we've met in the holidays that have been like, yes, we've listened to your podcast and we enjoyed this episode and we really appreciated this perspective. And that has meant a lot to us, obviously, but we also just, yeah, are grateful that you guys have been able to enjoy this content and it's been able to impact your life in a valuable way. So yeah, we're excited for the next few months and what that's going to hold. On that topic, we just wanted to introduce to you guys briefly a rough plan for the next few months so you guys can have a bit of an idea. But do one of you guys want to explain the new concept we're planning to go through of the basics?
Yeah, so we've been asked, you know, let's cover some of the things like how do we do gardening? I mean, the real basics of gardening and practical tips. So we are going to dive into that and talk about everything from starting a garden to tips, tricks, etc.
Yeah. So we want to do a couple of real practical episodes, just, yeah, bouncing ideas back and forth. I mean, that's specifically the garden aspect, but yeah, so many different things. If you guys have any suggestions of things that you'd like to know some thoughts on, different perspectives on, make sure you send us a message and yeah, let us know because we're keen to get into that and just go through as many different things as we can. We definitely really value and appreciate your feedback as well. But for today, what we're wanting to go into is not just what we've done in the holidays, but some things that we've been learning in the holidays as well. That's what we want to jump into today. We're all going to share just a couple of things that we've been learning. And we just really hope that, yeah, you guys can be blessed by this. So let's just jump straight into that.
Yeah. So there's so many lessons that we can learn from the garden, like practical things that we can put into action, you know? And you wouldn't think that, you know, you could find those things from the Bible. We're sharing popcorn devotional thoughts with you guys today. So one of the things that I've found comes from Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. And I was reflecting on this Bible verse when I was talking with one of my friends. And there's a clear connection between agriculture and farming in this. Like, as I read this now, you'll see, like, wow, it's obvious that he's talking about agriculture, you know. In verse 18, it says, the wicked works a deceitful work, but to him that sows righteousness shall be a sure reward. Sowing is obviously an agricultural activity. And those who sow righteousness, the Bible says that they will have a sure reward. An act of sowing itself shows that you have faith. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Because if you don't have faith that seed will grow, then you probably won't even go out there and work. You know, you won't go and put that seed in the ground.
Yeah, why put effort into sowing seeds if there's no way it's going to grow?
Totally. So the point here is that if you want to reap a reward, you have to put in effort, you know. You have to go and sow righteousness. And I'm going to leave it to Shana now, who's going to build on that and share with us a bit more.
Mm. Yeah, I really like that thought, Khan, of sowing righteousness and, yeah, having that faith to be able to sow it. I was thinking, like when we first had this idea of let's start with the devotional for the year, I was thinking of our hiking trip and we were talking one night specifically about growing and growth. And I think I've always had this perspective that there's a timeline for growth, right? You know, we want, or the analogy was given when you want to preach a sermon, you know, you prepare more before the sermon because you know you have a deadline and you get ready for that deadline. I think so many times in life, we don't just have specific deadlines and we don't have specific goals either. Sometimes we don't always know exactly what the end result is going to be. I remember like laying on the ground, looking up at the stars while we're talking about growth and deadlines and are deadlines the way to grow or not. And feeling disappointed in myself because I hadn't always met the deadlines that I've wanted in my own personal growth. But as I was looking at the stars, I was thinking and reflecting on it later that, you know, if this, like bring it back to the to creation, if the stars, the sun and the moon on the fourth day was beautiful enough and God was like, okay, the stars are amazing. That's all we need. And he stopped creating on the fourth day. If that's the place that we stayed in, what would we have missed? Like the whole purpose of creation would have been missed because humanity was a crowning work of his creation. And if God had have stopped when he's like, oh, this is good enough, yeah, what would have been missed? And I think sometimes we want, like in our lives, we want to finish the process before God has made everything beautiful, because I promise he's going to make everything beautiful in his time. But sometimes we want to finish the process before that, because we don't know what could be more. We don't know what we're sowing. We don't know what the plant's going to grow. And I just thought it was really interesting because I was paralleling that to a passage in 2 Peter. And it's that process that I was going through in my mind is actually clearly outlined here as well, which I thought was really cool as I've been looking at it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature." And the divine nature, from in my perspective, is probably the highest level of achievement, right? To reach that level of the divine nature is something that you would want to attain to. And says, "We're given great and exceeding precious promises so that we can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And then it goes on to explain how to do that. And it says, "Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." And so we have this, I guess, the standard that we're wanting to attain, this divine nature. We have exceeding great and precious promises to help us there. But then besides this, beside these precious promises, let's do some work. Let's add to our diligence faith. Let's add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. And it goes on. And we have this ladder of progress, which it's quite often called. But yeah, just in this process of growth, there's steps. And we might not know exactly what all the steps are at the beginning when we start on that ladder, when we start on that journey. But then I just get so much comfort and hope from this concept and this thought from this quote that I read from a book called Mind, Character, and Personality. It goes through some powerful things, but it talks about this process of growing. And I don't know about you, but when there's specific steps I need to take, and maybe I don't know exactly what the steps are because I like to be a planner, I like to know what's happening next. Maybe I don't know what that full picture is going to look like, and I worry and I stress, which is why, like I said at the beginning, when we have this idea of growth and we have a deadline and we want to reach that deadline, sometimes maybe the deadline is not even what we thought it was going to be, or not the end result that we needed it to be, because God has bigger and higher plans for us. Anyway, this thought and this quote from Mind, Character, and Personality, it says, "In place of growing anxious with the thought that you are not growing in grace, just do every duty that presents itself. Carry the burden of souls on your heart, and by every conceivable means, seek to save the lost. Be kind, be courteous, be pitiful, speak in humility of the blessed hope. Talk of the love of Jesus. Tell of his goodness, his mercy, and his righteousness. And cease to worry as to whether or not you are growing. Plants do not grow through any conscious effort. The plant is not in continual worriment about its growth. It just grows under the supervision of God." Which kind of ties back into Khan's thought of, you know, sowing in righteousness. We don't know what the end result's going to be, but if we grow under the supervision of God, if we give our lives to God, if we seek to save the lost, if we're kind, we're courteous, if we care about others more than ourselves, then we are going to grow. And we have that ladder of progress. We have those great and precious promises that are going to help us grow. But sometimes we might not know what the end result is fully going to be until we go there. And just believe in the promise that God is the author and finisher of our faith, and that he's going to make everything beautiful in his time. Yeah, that was some cool thoughts that came to mind as I was reflecting on, yeah, my holidays.
Absolutely. And like an action done out of faith leads to growth.
Mm.
Any small action, I believe that I should do this. I should wake up. I should get out. I should go and do this task. This is the nearest task at hand that needs to be done. And I do that action out of faith, not knowing what the next task necessarily needs to be. But after doing that, I've grown.
Mm.
And then at the end of the week, we can all say we've grown. Like looking backwards, we know we grew. It's only looking forward that we feel anxious about, oh, what's the growth going to be like? What's the steps going to be like?
It's crazy, hey, how we always, you know, looking forward, it's like, well, we want to be here by this day, but, you know, you can't always choose that, you know?
Yeah, the growth scale, like the steps in growth and the concept of deadlines, the deadline concept really focuses on the day when the fruit appear, you know, and they're ready for harvest.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that that was a lot. What about all the other bits that came up to preparing for that, the flowering and all the other stages?
It's, I agree. It's like so easy to overlook the journey stage, you know, the growth stage, which is really what it's all about, you know, by not focusing on necessarily the destination, but just enjoying the journey of growth, you know, enjoying your relationship with Christ, enjoying your time with Him.
Mm. And that can be some of the most beautiful times.
Yeah. And that mm-hmm. part can be actually be very simple, and it's not huge and highlighted, like, you know, like the end conclusion. Ah, there is fruit now. You know, it's like, it's really boring. It's, well, boring. It's simple. It's easy. It's just literally getting up. And in the life of a plant, it's going and feeding itself and taking the sunlight and taking the food and doing life. And it's small components, small parts that then build up to this final conclusion of, oh, there's fruit. I'll add to this a little with another thought from a completely different place. And but before that, this morning I was feeling a little gloomy and too many things have happened, and I was just like, I need some downtime. And whenever my garden is a mess, it usually says my brain's probably a mess. And I think that obviously applies to things like even our room or our workspace or anything. When it's a mess, it's like, it's been too much. And this morning when I woke up, I'm like, I'm going to go to the garden and I'm going to spend, I didn't even decide this. No, I just literally just went to the garden and started cleaning. And behold, I look at the time and it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, I spent all day cleaning and just like taking care of the place and, you know, putting things in order. And man, it felt so good. And what I'm saying by that is just whenever I go into the garden, I find something interesting that God can teach through it. Like we were talking about growth. We're learning growth by seeing growth. And when I go into the garden, I just find that there's this interesting, amazing ability of God to teach us through it. And there is a story about how God used a vegetable to teach his prophet in this case, and to even rebuke his prophet. And I know, like, when life has heaps of things happening and we come out in nature, some of the things that we see can be extremely impactful. And I just want to share an example here that from Jonah, where God used a plant to teach, right? And have a listen to this. So Jonah's been called to go into Nineveh to call out against their wickedness and say, look, you guys got to turn away from it, or look, you're going to be destroyed. And now it goes like this: yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, is what Jonah went and said to the city. The thing is, Jonah went to the enemy. Like, Nineveh was not, you know, best friends or pals. There was like, this is the enemy. And God asked Jonah to go to the enemy and tell them a message of salvation, of guys, turn away, otherwise, you know, you're going to destroy yourselves. So when Jonah went there and then preached this message of a bit of a doom and gloom message, guys, you're going to be destroyed, like you're going to be overthrown in 40 days, right? It was a doomy gloomy, and in the sense that he wasn't really heartfelt dedicated to the concept of saving the Ninevites. Like, this is the enemy. Why should we be saving them? And like, God, why are we extending grace unto these heathen people who have literally been persecuting us for generations and will be doing so for many generations more? Like, wouldn't it be a good thing if they got like destroyed? Like, isn't that going to be great? Isn't that like going to clean the place up?
Yes. From my human perspective, these guys do not deserve it one bit at all.
Yeah, exactly. They don't deserve it at all. But God rebukes him. And so he goes and preaches this message to Nineveh. And then he goes, and it says in chapter 4, verse 5, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. So he goes and teaches a message of doom and then goes outside of the city to watch the city and the result.
Oh, Jonah. Makes me laugh.
Yeah, mercy, like, really. And then it says, but Jonah was exceedingly angry. And God is like, why are you angry? Does it thou well to be angry? Like, you're angry that the Ninevites have repented, have turned from their ways, and I'm no longer going to destroy them and nothing's going to happen. And you're angry about it. And so this is when the rebuke comes, and in the form of a gird. And the Lord God prepared a gird, which is like a cucurbit or a vine, like a cucumber or a pumpkin, that kind of a plant, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. You know, it's just a beautiful expression of love to actually grow this, reaching out to Jonah in his grief. That's exactly the word the text says. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gird. You know, he was touched by it. And the next verse it says, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gird that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die. You know, so Jonah, in verse 9, actually, I'm just going to read it because it makes more sense. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gird? You know, like he's angry now because the gird has died. I think if we relate to it like a gardener, if we think about if we're a gardener and we go to the garden and we work hard, we plant the seed, we water it, we take the weeds away, we fertilize it, we take care of this plant. And then this creature comes in, this worm or whatever, and eats the base of it and it withers and dies. What does that cause us to feel? Disappointed, angry, like this is wrong. This is like, you know, a bad thing happened and it was a wrong thing. Like you get this righteous anger against the bug.
Well, what about when we were at Abide the other year when we had the farm there and the snow fell and then, you know, the roof of the hothouse fell in. Was it the hothouse or the netting on the orchard fell and broke? It's like, well, why did the snow come and why did it wreck our garden?
This is wrong. And God uses that this beautiful example of this plant dying and Jonah going, this is wrong. And then God says, thou hast had pity on the gird, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. So you've got mercy, you have grace, and you see for this gird that you see has suffered an unjust death. But what about my city, Nineveh? This heathen nation that I have given and I've supported and I have blessed and I've the cattle in there are mine and all the creation and the people in there I, God, have allowed and sustained. But to them, no, destroy them. So this is Jonah's mentality. He can't see clearly about his enemy, but God can use such a simple lesson through a plant, through a garden plant to rebuke him and tell him, no, the mercy that you would like to extend unto a silly plant is what ought to be extended unto my city, unto my people. What a rebuke, hey?
It's crazy. God works hard for things. You know, he works hard for people. He works hard to grow things. Like, we literally can do nothing. Any of this work, any of anything, like, he gives us life. And yet we still feel so precious about it and take it on as our own.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's easy to get carried away. And, you know, Jonah being an Israelite, he has this entitlement of we're God's people, but they're not. And it's a direct rebuke against that to say, no. All these people are God's people in the sense that God would like to extend mercy unto all of them. And if God can extend mercy unto all of them, then why are we to do any different? Like, we can't go and claim our Jewish rights, you know, or our right that we have a claim to God before anyone else. That's not how it works. And so I know in my life that coming to the garden and coming and seeing these really simple object lessons has really impacted me. Like, just like this morning, going and cleaning the garden, I saw the mess and I'm like, yep, today, for me to grow, the thing that I need to do is I need to go and clean this mess. And after that, I felt actually a complete, it's like cleaning therapy. You know, you just feel revived. You feel clear in the head, you know. So we learn in the garden.
So true, man. You can learn so many lessons from plants. It's amazing.
So God can teach, and he can teach through his creation. So We hope that you've been blessed by these thoughts. And any more reflective comments, guys?
I just was going to say, yeah, it's like from these thoughts, we just really hope that you guys can be inspired to go and spend time in nature, hearing from God, spend time in his word and seeing, yeah, what he wants to speak to you as well, because he wants to speak to each one of us. Sometimes we need to make sure we put ourselves in that place that he can speak to us. And there's so many things that we can learn.
Absolutely. And spending a time and a moment of, it's a strange word, but it does match really well, a devotion in nature, because we are going out and we are just looking and giving opportunity for God to speak. Just like when we read a text in the Bible and we don't know what it means, but we're giving God an opportunity to speak into that verse and give it meaning. And I think exactly the same in nature. We go out in the garden, we go out in nature, and we give and ask God for an opportunity to speak through his nature, and he will not fail to do so.
He'll be faithful. Like I remember in the first episode we ever released, we talked about God being faithful and making the sun rise every day and the sunset every day. And not just in nature, but he'll do that in our own lives too. So yeah, go and be blessed.
That's it. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for your time. And we would love to hear the comments or thoughts on this episode on our social media or any of our comment spots. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Yes. What have you guys been learning in your holidays? We're keen to hear, keen to know.
Absolutely. And especially if you've learned something in the garden or outdoors or some kind of a inspiration, we would definitely love to hear that as well.
Thanks for listening to the Cultivate podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you find us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our mailing list by the links below so you don't miss out. And if you have a moment, we'd love it if you could leave a review or tell a friend. See you next time.